I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and normally Golfer Gal is with me, but she is actively preparing for the 2012 THP Golf Outing and Demo Day, so I have found a suitable replacement, and that is Dean Snell from TaylorMade. Dean, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. There's a lot of talk recently of the new TaylorMade golf balls coming out, and before we jump right in with the different models that are coming out, I noticed they were in play this past weekend. And early feedback from the tour pros is extremely positive. What's it like having a product come to fruition this quickly and immediately be in tour players' bags?
Yeah, I think it's the beginning of the season, so a lot of our players are just getting the new ball. Pretty much we send it to them at the end of the year. And then we usually expect the first maybe month or so for people to convert. I think almost everybody went into it this week. I think we had nine new Penta TP5s in play this week. That's the validation for us in R&D. That's the validation of the product that we really like. It's nice from a marketing point of view to be able to say things and make claims, but when these guys, you know, which it's their livelihood and that's how they make their money, spend a couple of weeks testing something and then are able to put it in play where it counts is kind of the validation of product for us that we like to see. And so far, with just having one golf ball for the tour last year and this year, we've had 100% conversion from all tour players that play TaylorMade. So things are going well.
So getting back to the models, there's three new models hitting the shelves this year that our readers are particularly interested in. There's the, previously we had the Penta, which was the first five-piece layered ball. And this year it's been kind of a switch, and there's a Penta TP5 and a Penta TP3. Now, before we get into the differences and the different balls, and we'll cover each one individually, I have to say there's a little bit of irony in the name there with Penta and then a three-piece ball.
Yeah, well, also remember, Penta for us last year stood for five shots in golf, driver, long iron, mid-iron, short iron, and then 100 yards and in. So we were trying to change how we look at design of golf balls, not just with drivers and 8-irons or drivers and pitching wedges, but the better players that go out there are actually making comments on 4 and 5 irons or making comments on 30 or 70-yard wedge shots into the green. So we broke the game down into 5 shots last year, which is where Penta came from. It ended up being 5 layers in the golf ball to handle those 5 shots. That was the ultimate performance that we were able to get based on what the players wanted. With the new golf ball with Penta TP3, we'll cover that design in a little bit, but it still addresses the 5 shots, but it addresses it in a different level of performance for different players.
Gotcha. Okay, let's kick it off with the first ball that THP already did some preliminary testing out on the course with, and that's the RBZ Rocket Balls golf ball. Can you tell us a little bit about that, how that came to fruition? We can skip the name part. We've been through it 100 times already. We have the story out there on how it came to be. You know, I don't think it's necessary to really cover that in this show. We could probably do a whole other show based on the naming of it. But the Rocket Balls, the RBZ golf ball, how did it come to be, and what should players expect out of it?
The Rocket Balls RBZ ball is really drafting off of the club insane velocity target that we were doing. So we're really shooting for, the ball is maxed out with speed. It's you know, up to the maximum limit for velocity. We used the fastest materials we could find in golf, put them in the core and the cover in the mantle layer. So it's a three-piece golf ball. But then if the target golfer in that area in the $25 range, from a handicap point of view, is typically somewhere maybe in the, you know, the eight handicap to 18 handicap range, based on speed itself, is nice to chase distance, but we put a very, very soft, thin cover on it, almost the same hardness as our urethane covers on our tour balls, which now gives a lot of spin with the short irons, the 7, 8, 9 irons. So for average golfers who need more spin with these shots, we've maxed out the velocity for distance, made the ball feel very soft for a nice feel. And then on the iron shots hitting into the green, we've added spin to the golf ball much higher than what Penta is for players that actually need spin. So overall, it's insane velocity. I think the marketing campaign we're running with it is bomb with bite, so the golf ball is extremely long, but it does have a very nice spin rate and very good feel, you know, when you get closer to the green.
You know, I speaking from a personal standpoint, is I'm a player who generates a lot of greenside spin, and one of the things that I always try to do is find a ball that's not overly spinny. And I know marketing as it exists now, every player wants the spinniest wedge, the spinniest golf ball and everything else. But what I found is the ball actually, you're absolutely correct, the ball did bite just fine on the green. You know, it stopped for me with no real issues. Is that something that, you know, I'm still a lower handicap player. Is that something that I could be seeking out, is as a lower handicap player, something that might give me maximum distance and I don't really have to worry about the spin as much?
Yeah, it is. And remember, when we're talking spin here, it's increased spin over Penta on the full shots, like a full 7, 8, 9 pitch and wedge shot. And now the closer you get to the green with the 100-yard wedge, 70, 30, hitting the knockdown shots, that's where Penta actually will take over. For the better players that want to try to control the shot, the one hop and stop, it has a little more spin. So racquetballs will be long off the tee, higher spinning shots into the green, and then around the green, it'll have a tendency to obviously chip pitch a little bit higher, won't have as much spin as Penta the closer you get to the green. So that's kind of where the golf balls start to separate themselves out, is that 100 yards and in, it's a little bit higher launch, a little bit less spin, versus the mid-irons, which are 7, 8, 9 pitch and wedge, full shots, it actually will have more spin.
And I think that's where, you know, readers get confused a lot of times. They see a non-urethane covered ball and immediately think, well, I need to play the tour level ball. And there's nothing wrong with playing a tour level ball, and we'll get to those two in a second here. But on a full shot, like you're saying, you're seeing even more spin off the RBZ line, and that may help quite a bit of golfers while they're still achieving maximum distance.
That's right. When you look at shots with a tour player, if we study like 8-irons, for instance, a lot of the better players that really hit down on the ball that generate a lot of spin, their spin rates will be for an 8 or 9-iron up around 8 to 10,000 RPMs of spin, versus a recreational player, average golfer who may pick the ball and not have as, you know, as steep of an impact or create as much spin, might be in the 5 to 6,000. So there's no, a lot of players will go out and they'll say, geez, I can never seem like I can suck the ball back. I can't make it spin back. And they never will. You know, they're just not able to generate as much spin that they're going to need to do that. So if we can add some to it, it will just add a little bit more control. Maybe that ball won't hit and release to the back of the green. Maybe it'll hit and stay closer, take some shots off the score, and you don't have to worry about distance because it's built into the ball from the beginning.
Very, very interesting. Now, the next two balls that are coming out are the Penta balls, and they're both urethane covered. And before I get to the actual description of the balls, you mentioned something a second ago about when you're fitting a tour player, and you've been through this countless times. How do you fit your tour players?
That's actually a great question. I've been fortunate
enough.
Thank
you. I pride myself on great questions.
it's funny because when I do a lot of presentations or discussions, I've done this. This is my 23rd year in golf ball design and worked with the tour players for basically all 23 years. And I can remember back with Tour Bellotto where we would just stand on the tee and hit drivers. And then we went to professional, Titleist professional, and we would hit drivers and we'd start to increase distance, and that would be all we would test. Then it would start to be driver 8-iron when it was professional to Pro V1. You know, and now it's completely different. I spent a little bit of time with Sergio out in Spain, and for the first 6 hours of the first day of testing, we didn't leave 30 yards from the green. And then the next day we had a wedge, and we went and we spent 2 hours with a wedge at 100 yards. Find the feel and performance that he likes around the green, and then take that and have the expected distance be there. So the tour has completely changed with respect to testing. Everything is done short game, work your way back. And remember, with drivers today, well, you can optimize and adjust and tweak and tune pretty much any launch condition you want. There's no real reason to actually test golf balls with drivers until you find one that you like in the areas where your scoring zone, where the shots count the most. So it's changed quite a bit. It's all done around the green, work our way back. And the better the player is, the further back we go. So, you know, average golfers, when we test, we'll test with just 100 yards in. But when we start to test with good players, scratch golfers, tour players, we go all the way back through the driver where they're looking for performance from tee to green.
Now, the two balls that are, you know, that are considered tour balls, and I hate the moniker tour because I think a lot of times it's overused quite a bit, but the premium balls that TaylorMade has coming out are the Penta TP5 and Penta TP3. Now, it's kind of like Penta found Mrs. Pac-Man and had a baby, and, you know, bad analogy, but describe the R&D process of going from one ball to two.
Our goal for the top player, for the person that's looking for the performance from complete tee to green, and in all honesty, it's a lot of the better players, the lower handicap. It's not so much the tour. I agree with you. The tour gives it a name that it's not just for tour players by any means. Matter of fact, if it was, we wouldn't make any money because they don't pay for the golf ball, so that would kill us. But it is really targeted towards the single digit better players that look for true performance. And I think one of the things that we did, and it's kind of almost like for us the Cadillac of the golf ball side for us, where we think most of our better players and tour players will play TP5. And all the design work that we did in the past, the big areas that we focused on were feel, so we made the ball softer, and then the mid-iron side to it, reducing spin out. We just talked rocket balls adding spin. With Penta TP5, we've actually taken a lot of the full short iron spin out of the golf ball versus some of the tour balls because the players were having trouble getting to back pins and they were spinning it too much. So, and then what ends up happening is when you reduce the spin of those short irons, you actually increase the control and consistency, especially into the wind. So our biggest benefit with TP5 has been the accuracy and control with irons, less affected by wind, carrying out the distances that the players want, and able to control that spin. Now with TP3, we took a couple of the layers out of the golf ball, and by doing that, now you change your spin performance, and we've added spin to that mid short iron, and that specifically has been done again for good golfers and average golfers who we say need the spin. Second part of the golf ball that we did is while we added the spin to it, we've kept the feel soft, but because we've taken a couple of layers out of the golf ball, we're giving that cost savings of the ball back to the consumer and letting them have an opportunity to try. So the target here is Pro V1 is the best golf ball in the market selling today by market share. So people like it, people play it, and what we did for the people that like to buy the golf balls is we took that target performance and we built Penta TP3. So we really targeted the overall performance of Pro V1 into the golf ball, and then we're going to offer it to consumers at, I think, maybe $12 to $15 a dozen, cheaper than what Pro V1 will be.
Interesting philosophy, and obviously you do that, both companies do that in different ways, so to speak. Now, one question that's a little sidetrack to this, but I always try to hit on this, and maybe coming from you it will make more sense because I'm not as bright, clearly, is I think consumers in general get caught up with the words soft and spin, and they think that they are one and the same, and in fact they're completely different aspects of the golf ball.
Go ahead.
What I mean is, can you kind of relate when you describe soft, what you're referring to, and how it's not relative to spin?
Yeah, and that's how it used to be. You're totally right. And for a lot of players, the softer the ball got, if you remember back in the 1990s, the two-piece golf balls, with respect to compression and feel, were up in the 100, 105, and the tour balls were down in the 75 and 80 with tour blotter. So there was a complete different level of sound and feel in the golf balls. And then it's completely flip-flop. The two-piece golf balls today are down in the 50 or 60 compression range, and the tour balls have gone up close to 100. So the two-piece balls have gotten much softer in feel or sound, and we've been able to do this by new technologies with cores and covers where we can find a way to reduce the spin significantly by making the cores be a lot softer. And when you make the core in the golf ball softer, the sound is softer and the spin is lower. So everybody always believes, hey, if you make the ball softer, it spins more. It's actually the opposite today. We're able to do things in golf ball design where dropping that cork impression lowers the spin and significantly lowers the sound or feel of the golf ball. So you end up going in the opposite direction than what people believe. Now when you add layers to the golf ball, now we can actually bring the spin back into it to the level that we want. So our overall design, by anytime you can add a layer to a golf ball, you can add performance. And some people will say, geez, well, what's that mean? How many layers are we going to have? You know, in theory, there's 14 clubs. You could have 14 layers, but there's a level of, you know, of performance that you can notice that that's not worth the value to add layers to it. So we try to target categories of shots versus individual clubs. And I really believe that today, that if someone took a burner golf ball, which is a two-piece ball, or a noodle, and a Penta or Penta TP5, and you bounce them on a wedge, the noodle and burner golf balls are going to be significantly softer, but they're our lowest spinning golf balls.
Very,
so
very interesting.
The technology is there.
and far more eloquently put than I am. Like you said, there could be 14 layers, but eventually the law of diminishing returns has to come into play.
Exactly. Yes.
Now, Penta is the household name, or is becoming the household name in golf balls for TaylorMade. And now, that, like I said, it's branched off into two lines. Where do they fit consumers? Will a consumer fit better for one than the other, or is it more, hey, you might like this, try this?
Yeah, this is how, if you just purely, if you've played Penta before or you like the performance of Penta last year and you're wondering about TP3, I can probably make it simple for you to understand. The golf balls are going to be very similar in feel. The distance is always going to be expected and be there. That's our job. So the difference in the golf balls is really going to be on this mid and short iron full shot. So if you've played the Penta TP5, you hit the golf ball, it holds the greens and you like it, then stay with 5. If you've ever played it and you hit and maybe you see the ball hit and release a little bit or doesn't hold as good as you'd like it to be, then try the TP3 because that's going to add spin to that full shot for you. So that's the simple way to look at it if you've played it. If you haven't played Penta, if you like Pro V1 and you play Pro V1, then play TP3 and save yourself $15 a dozen.
That's a very interesting way to put it. Now, when it comes to ball flight off the tee, it's become, you know, with shaft technology taking on new heights and going to new levels and being able to manipulate flex points in all different areas, ball flight is always relatively highly talked about, I guess would be the right way to put it. What are you going to see between the two balls as far as ball flight?
The aerodynamics of the golf balls with the driver, they should be the same. And our goal for us in our R&D side, if we do our jobs right, the distance part of golf balls today, we can't add, you know, 20 or 30 yards to it. So it's impossible. If anybody says a new golf ball, not clubs, but golf ball, are going to go out and add 30 yards to it, you know, it's misleading and it's almost impossible. The physics side of golf balls, that distance, are launch angle, spin rate, and ball speed. So we maximize the velocity of the golf ball by the USGA rules. The launch angle is up to you. If you want to hit the ball further, you want to hit it higher with a lower spin. And then we design the golf balls with drivers to be low spin. So the true fitting of distance into a shot with drivers is really player dependent. Take the opportunity to use the clubs that are out there today. Go ahead and adjust them and get your optimum launch conditions to maximize your distance. And now, but my recommendation is the answer to your question, the trajectory side to it and flight side to it. We do a lot of aerodynamic design to optimize carry and roll, since the ultimate shot for distance is based on how far it carries and rolls, not just one or the other. So we do our jobs right. The distance is going to be built in. You probably won't see a whole lot of difference between TP3 and TP5 with respect to distance. If anything, some high-spin players may see the TP3 be slightly higher trajectory than TP5, but they should be very similar.
Now, comparing TP5 to the original Penta, a lot of people asked, will the ball flight be higher or lower? And again, it will be player dependent, but are there noticeable differences from that aspect?
Yeah, there will be. The big difference that we did from the original Penta TP to TP5 is truly just the driver and three-wood shot. So we've lowered the core compression about 28%, so almost 30% softer. That drops the driver spin. So when you lower the driver spin, it's less affected by the wind. The higher spinning driver players that are out there should see the golf ball carry further, shouldn't see it balloon up in the air a little bit. So I think if you're a low spin player, now you have an opportunity to hit it a little higher and it will go further. And if you're a higher spinning player, it should eliminate that concern where the golf ball maybe would climb a little or balloon a little and start to add some distance for you.
Excellent, excellent info. Well, I want to thank you for coming on this week. We could probably do 5 shows on these new balls because there's so much technology packed into them. We're going to urge our readers, obviously, to test them out for themselves and see what they think of them and post their feedback on the THP forums. But I want to thank Dean for coming on this week, and we'll be back with the next show next week. Goodbye, everybody.